The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of First and 12 right here at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, as the voice said, First and 12, our look every week at the Big 12. Man, can you believe it? We are nine games in to the season. Week 10 approaches, and it is insane. And BYU getting the loss at West Virginia 37-7. We'll get to that, of course, of the game reactions. But Mitch Harper is still, of course, trapped in West Virginia. So good luck with that, Mitch. We appreciate you being on the program, and hopefully you can get out of the woods there.
Great setting in these country roads. I got to say, it was an awesome game day atmosphere at West Virginia. But what a weekend in the Big 12 Conference. So many eventful games, big stages, so much to go through this weekend. So I think we got to just dive right into it, and let's get to our Big 12 headlines.
12 headlines.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The dozen storylines that shape this week of Big 12 football. Headline one.
All right off the bat, as we get our headlines going here, you know, there's a lot of places we could have started, and of course the biggest ones that throughout the day kind of revealed themselves yesterday. Let's start first off with a nice little something, of course, that we're going to miss very much, and that's the Bedlam series that was, of course, laid to rest yesterday. And it was a good one too, Mitch. It was all that we wanted. We didn't want a blowout. We wanted a back-and-forth situation, and we got it. And so Oklahoma falls to Oklahoma State. I don't know what to think about Oklahoma or Oklahoma State at this time, but right now, Oklahoma State, Mitch, could they be the ones in the Big 12 championship game? Is it going to be Oklahoma? I don't know.
I think so. Oklahoma State, they beat Oklahoma to close out the Big 8 era back in 1995. They beat Oklahoma in 2023 to close out the Big 12 era of Bedlam as Oklahoma goes off to the SEC. Mike Gundy made it clear these two are never going to play again as long as he's the head coach, unless it's a bowl game. What a way for Oklahoma State to close out Bedlam in the Big 12 era with a 27-24 victory. And they were decisively the better team. I mean, Oklahoma made, they took the lead in the second half, but Oklahoma State, this was not a fluke. They were the better football team than the Sooners. What a turnaround this Oklahoma State team has had this season.
Yeah, and you know what? Oklahoma is in jeopardy of missing that Big 12 championship game. And that's, of course, leading us to our third headline, which is Texas, who's now in line to get to that Big 12 championship game if they keep holding serve here. And I, of course, was dead wrong this week, and Texas ends up beating Kansas State in overtime, 33-30. I looked at that thing when it was 27-7, I think, is what it was, Mitch, at one point. Mm-hmm. Ended up being a massive comeback by Kansas State. And, man, I was excited about it because I was making that pick all week to everybody that Kansas State was going to be in the Big 12 championship game. They're going to beat Texas for sure. And they came up short, but that was also a heck of a game. Two really freaking good games between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas State. That was a lot of fun. For that headline number three there, and even though I made the pick that I did, I like that Texas still is able to be somebody at the very, very top of the conference.
Valiant effort by Kansas State in headline number four, but that offense was a no-show early, and yeah. Also their special teams make an extra point, and you're going to win the ball game. You know, just little things like that. Kansas State, the one team that Chris Klieman has not beat in this league, it's Texas, and I think it's going to end that way, as I don't think Kansas State, with three losses, is going to find its way to Arlington. Headline number five, Baylor falls to Houston in their first meeting since 1995. Dave Aranda calls Baylor a really kind of a broken locker room, a lot of trouble on the banks of the Brazos.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm really glad you didn't put this as our Big 12 game of the week, by the way. So I just want to throw that one out there. That was when I saw on the schedule and went, ooh, I don't know who. It's like a battle for the bottom there. And, yeah, I was actually pretty shocked that that Houston still able to figure that one out. Headline number six, speaking of Houston, they led the entire game all the way till overtime and pulled off a two-point conversion to win. It's not the type of overtime win that you like in a game like that, because it's just like who wanted to lose the game more than the other. And there you have it. But, yeah, like you said, my goodness. When the power rankings come out, the bottom is the very bottom of this conference, and the top is starting to separate itself, too.
Headline number seven, Texas Tech on Thursday night. They defeated TCU. Baron Morton back at quarterback. And, oh, by the way, there was a possum on the field. Alex, how can you not like that?
You know, on a Thursday night game, if there's an animal on the field, they're like, we're going to make that the headline story. And it was. It was the only thing we heard about. It was like college football was held hostage by a possum until Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, you're watching that game and you're going, there's no way TCU. I text you, Mitch, and I said, what on earth is TCU's problem?
Yeah.
Who is TCU? And then you look back and you go, what was BYU's problem in Fort Worth that day? That's how we always look at things. Yeah. But and then, of course, headline number eight, speaking of BYU, West Virginia absolutely blast BYU. This was not even close from the beginning. One team showed up and the other just did not show up at all. BYU suffers another 30-plus point loss on the season in Big 12 play. Welcome to the big leagues.
Headline number nine, BYU introduced a new quarterback to the big leagues. That was Jake Retzlaff. He got his first career start as Keaton Slovis. Still continues to deal with a shoulder and some elbow pain. So Retzlaff gets the start. I thought he showed pretty well in a tough spot, but BYU was outclassed. They were outmatched, just destroyed in all three phases of this game. We'll break that one down a little bit later this hour.
Headline number 10, UCF. Don't call them Central Florida. First Big 12 win of their Big 12 era. And, of course, they do it against a super bad Cincinnati team. So, again, I'm glad, Mitch, you didn't pick that one for the game of the week in the Big 12. Thank you very much. But UCF gets that much-needed win. And I think they're better than their record actually shows. But, you know, obviously the philosophy is, no, you're exactly what your record shows. And a good start for UCF to get a win at least over. You get a nice one against Cincinnati. Hey, BYU experienced that at some point this year.
Headline number 11, Kansas up to win number 7. They exceed last year's regular season win total. The Jayhawks go into Ames, get a big win, 28-21. Jason Bean, once again, the quarterback, Jalen Daniels, remains out. So this is clearly Jason Bean's team, and they just continue to pile up wins with eyes set maybe to Arlington.
And then finally, headline number 12, it's a big picture item that we love talking about throughout the week as we saw the scheduling matrix go between 2024 and 2027 with all the new teams that are coming in. Mitch, I got all sorts of excited this week. And with even when the football games weren't being played and we were just anticipating it, it's really fun to see in the future all those teams who are going to be coming in the league next year.
It definitely was. And the protected rivalries. I know that some people in the Big 12, Kansas State, Iowa State fans, were not happy about Farmageddon going off the books in 2027. But BYU Utah, it's a protected rivalry, and it's head and shoulders the best rivalry going forward in the Big 12 Conference. But I do like how this league is prioritizing everyone is going to play each other. Now, it's going to be weird to think that you'll play someone and then you don't see them until two more years. But, hey, I'd rather do that than go years in, like in the SEC where, oh, you haven't been to Florida in 11 years. Like, I don't want to see stuff like that.
Right.
So I like this scheduling matrix that the Big 12 has put together. We got to take our first time out, though. We will break down this BYU game. I'm in Morgantown still. Alex is in Salt Lake. We're going to break it down as BYU falls to West Virginia 37-7. It's 1st and 12 here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Read all the stories about BYU sports no one else has heard. Go to KSLSports.com for exclusive columns by BYU insider Mitch Harper. That's KSLSports.com.
1st and 12 every single Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon here on KSL News Radio, the KSL Sports Zone, the KSL Sports app, and on podcast, wherever you get your podcasting platforms. Mitch Harper, Alex Carey. I'm here in Morgantown, West Virginia, the site of BYU's 37-7 setback against the Mountaineers. And let's break down this game, and it's sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. Alex, this was a game where BYU loses by 30, but I feel like it could have been worse. I mean, West Virginia, Garrett Green left some points on the field with some of his poor passing. this was just, in all three phases, a disaster for BYU.
Yeah, and you know, I think that we've seen it all year, Mitch, right? I don't know why we should be that surprised by some of the disparities on the offensive side of things. The thing that was something that we didn't necessarily expect was the rushing total that the Mountaineers put up. I mean, 336 yards on the ground. After showing out last week and just showing kind of the toughness that they had against the University of Texas down in Austin, I thought maybe, yeah, they could show up. And the only thing that they needed to do was say, hey, we'll take over on the defense. We'll keep this thing under 17 points from West Virginia. And then let's see if we can give Jake Retzlaff a chance. And then, but no shot at all. Like you were saying, you know, when it was 27-0 at the half, I thought this actually was probably the worst feeling BYU fans have experienced all season long. Am I wrong on that? Because even the Texas or even the TCU loss, you went, yeah, but it is TCU. Maybe it was supposed to be like that. But West Virginia, I was not expecting that, and it was by far jumping off the paper. There was one team who wanted to play that game hard, and it was not BYU.
Yeah, BYU, I was just not – I don't know if I should say stunned, because they've kind of given us these hints leading up to this game of lack of the ability to stop the run, you know, can't get off the field. But I was just stunned how West Virginia said – BYU, we're not threatened by you. We're going to win the coin toss. We're going to receive, and we're going to run it down your throat on that first drive. And they did. And Neil Brown, credit to him, he instilled confidence into that West Virginia team, and they showed it on Saturday night. West Virginia now 6-3. They still have a chance to go to the Big 12 championship game after being the preseason number 14 pick. Garrett Green said this week that he's got the number 14 on his lock screen all the time on his iPhone as motivation. And, man, it was a motivated group. And BYU, I don't know what they hang their hat on going forward.
Yeah.
One thing that I did like, though, from the game, Alex, was Jake Retzlaff. I feel like he should be your starting quarterback for BYU going forward. I know that Kalani Sitake said that Keaton Slovis is day-to-day, and you'll hear more from Kalani here coming up. But I feel like Retzlaff, you know, his performance I thought was pretty decent in a otherwise poor performance from BYU.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Mitch. Like, the week in total, like, it was an emotionally charged, very weird week. The news comes out about Retzlaff. They probably didn't want it to come out as early as it did. But hounds like you are always calling up. What's the deal? Who's going to start this week? No, but I mean, like, honestly, it felt like everything besides football was – I mean, not football, but I mean besides West Virginia was in the discussion, right? I mean, it just felt like one of those weird weeks. And you know, if you thought that BYU is going to suddenly turn everything around on offense, it just felt like this was not the week to do it, because everything got rolled out and, they put it out there that he's going to be the guy, that there's a shoulder injury or there's an elbow or whatever, an arm injury to Keaton Slovis. But then everybody is behind the scenes going, yeah, but is it an injury? I mean, is this something really that they're trying to just have him take over for? You know, and I remember now I look back and I question everything, because we talked with Connor Pay on Tuesday, like we always do during the week, and we asked him, like, what about changing quarterbacks? Because Kalani says, no way, you know, like, let's get this guy some protection or whatever. And it was weird, because he was like, yeah, I don't think you replace him. I mean, he's the leader, and he's the guy. And if the other 10 of us were playing awesome and he was the problem, then yeah. And then they replaced him. And I don't know if he knew it at that point, or if he was just saying, yeah, don't replace him if he's bad, but yeah, replace somebody if they have an injury. Everything around this whole thing, Mitch, felt like going into West Virginia, there were so many distractions, so many problems that were outside of the actual game itself. And West Virginia is just like, who cares, man? Country roads, we're going to blow you guys up. And they did.
BYU is a soft football team, and that's discouraging, because I honestly thought coming into this season, Alex, that, you know, BYU might have their losses. I predicted 5 losses coming into the year for BYU, but I thought they were just going to be tough, and teams were going to feel BYU strength in the trenches for a full 60 minutes, and it wasn't going to be, oh, you know, BYU's a complete pushover. I mean, I'm hearing in the press box at West Virginia media thinking, is BYU the new Kansas of old?
Oh.
And that's kind of the feeling. And you know what? How BYU played, I think that's a fair criticism, because BYU was bad. You look around the Big 12 this weekend, all the games were within a touchdown or less, except BYU, West Virginia. But again, I think that, you know, BYU has got something with Retzlaff. I don't know if he's a QB1 next year. I still believe you got to get into that portal again and add another quarterback. But I liked what he showed, and I feel like he's got the ability to go out and run and in some of those design runs. And he seemed also like someone that just makes quick decisions. He's just going to let it fire it off. And I like that about him. I feel like Keenan Slovis a little bit slower in his decision-making at times, whereas Retzlaff was pretty quick. But BYU's got to pick themselves up off the mat quick, because it doesn't get any easier heading down the stretch at all.
No, and you know what? I mean, it's been, I guess, over the last 12 hours on social media. How weird has it been to watch people pointing out clips of, look how terribly blocked this was. Look how this guy's not making an effort on this play to block somebody. The O-line may have had their worst game of the entire season after everybody saying, hey, I think they could turn a corner now. And it was one of the worst performances we've seen by that starting front.
Alex, I feel like Darryl Funk, if he has a job by Monday, I don't think that's appropriate. I feel like Darryl Funk has to go. And, you know, Kalani Sitake is not one to make in-season firings, but that group has regressed so much since Jeff Grimes left for Baylor. It is just a shell of itself. And I don't subscribe to the thought that there's not talent at the offensive line. If it was the days of old when Bronco was the head coach and they're dealing with, 260-pound guys going up against Starlo Tulele, yeah, I can understand the critiques. But this group's got talent. You know, Connor Pay, as you mentioned, Kingsley Suamataia, Braden Kime. These are talented football players, and they just look – they look like they're just lost. There's no identity. There's no toughness. And there's got to be some real changes. And I think after this season, that seat's got to be cooking for Darryl Funk. And I know that's tough to say.
Well, it's not a Kalani move either, right? And he doesn't like to make in-season moves anyway. But if you do, then maybe it is a position coach.
It's just the reality.
Right, yeah. I mean, gosh, this is rough stuff right now. This is what BYU fans are saying, across the board. But, man, it was a rough go. That was as bad of a performance we've seen.
You know what was also rough was the West Virginia student section on Keenan Slovis. Even though he didn't play in the game, man, they were giving it to him in the pregame. Oh, my goodness. So, Keenan Slovis, obviously, he's on the sideline. It was funny. He was wearing a yellow BYU
yellow hat
kind of signal.
Right.
So it looked like he was wearing pit colors with
royal
blue and yellow. So that already ignited him even more. But the student section for West Virginia, I have never heard so many curse words. And owning it. Like, I'm taking this, like, some photos of these people that are, like, smiling, and they're dropping all these swear words, and it's, like, just going in on these BYU players. It was pretty rough. So it was the clash of the cultures that we were expecting to see, and
it wasn't the
friendly confines of the Rock, that's for sure.
Somebody goes, would it be bad if we made the inbreds versus the Mormons? I said, yeah, we'd probably hold back on – like, that's not a T-shirt you want to print necessarily. All right, we'll take another break here. We'll come back. Our show is always brought to you by Macy's. Happy shopping, the freshest fruits and vegetables. You got to go to Macy's. You got to check it out. They sponsor, of course, First and 12 every week. We'll come back. Let's listen to what Kalani Sitake had to say about this loss at West Virginia last night in Morgantown. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, 102.7 FM, KSL News Radio. It is First and 12. Stay with us.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is another edition of First and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone every Sunday, 10 to noon. Hey, I hope you fell back this week. I hope you got an extra hour of sleep. That's courtesy of the folks at First and 12. Mitch and I decided, you know what, let's throw those clocks back and give everybody a little extra hour of sleep on a Sunday. So every Sunday we're going to be right here with the First and 12. It's been fun. I mean, we're going through, we're already almost week 10 on this thing, Mitch, and so let's get to more of this reaction of this BYU 37-7 loss last night in Morgantown against the West Virginia Mountaineers. Kalani Sitake after the game giving his thoughts right off the bat, congratulating West Virginia on a heck of a game.
Tough game, and congratulations to West Virginia. I thought they played a great game. Made a lot of plays, got a lot of yards on us. It felt like they could just do whatever they wanted, and we couldn't create any momentum. We couldn't get things going, and we got to be better. I think it just shows you this conference isn't easy, and so you can't just show up and think that because you have a great fan base that's going to be there cheering for you that it's going to be easy. Neil proved it with his team, with what West Virginia did to us, and in all three phases, we lost the game in all three phases. So time to regroup, time to get back and get home and play this next game. But got to learn. It's going to be tough film to watch, but we got to watch it and learn from it and do it with a positive attitude. There's still a lot to play for. We've got to find a way to get that bowl eligible win so we can take advantage of the extra game, spend more time together, for another game, but also extend the season and extend our opportunity to develop our guys still. So we have a lot of things to work on, but there's some good things to, believe it or not, there's some good things that we saw from our team, and we'll keep highlighting that and try to gain momentum as a team in all three phases, try to get, it just seems like every time something was going well, that we found a way to not keep it going, but you have to give credit to West Virginia for doing the way they played. I thought they played hard and tough, and we couldn't match their intensity, and that's not a good sign. So we've got to find a way to regroup and learn from this, and uncharacteristic loss for us, but I felt like the guys for the most part fought. We just need all 11 guys in the field doing the right things. It seems like we're so late in the season and we're still making mistakes. And then fundamentally, we're not playing well with fundamentals. We're not blocking right. We're whiffing on blocks. We're not tackling well. We're not using the right proper technique. We're playing missed assignment football, and that's something that we've got to fix, and that's what I got to get done the next week. I think we can bounce back from this, and it's good that we're going to be home, but going on the road and getting a win is not easy. And so that seems like a difficult thing for us to deal with, but we'll have to worry about that after. Right now we're going to go home for a home game, and I'd like to fix the errors and the missed assignments and the stuff that we can fix right now. And then saw a lot of new bodies on the field, so we'll have some great competition, and with guys that are redshirting that are available now, we'll see how it works, how it looks, and some guys that are banged up, hopefully we get some guys back, and hopefully some guys are able to play next week. So, but we'll have to deal with injuries if they come, just like everybody else. But we do have the redshirt guys to go to if we need to get there.
Well, Lonnie, was this a new low for your offensive line? You called out last week to protect.
Yeah, I thought, and I had to watch the film, but I just felt like there was just too many whiffs, and by that we were just unblocked guys, and whether it's a run game or the pass pro, it wasn't good enough. And Jake battled. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but he battled. He played hard. He threw the ball with great velocity and accuracy. And then there's sometimes, I mean, it's his first game starting. I thought he made a couple mistakes, but the effort was there and the energy, and he never quit. And so I like what he did in the game. We just couldn't piece momentum together. Not converting the fourth downs hurt, and not making plays, and then turnovers, and then get a penalty. And I don't know what the penalties were. Yeah, 10 penalties, that's not our football. That's not us, and that's disappointing. So the fact that we had 10 penalties upsets me. It means that we played undisciplined football. And that usually happens when you're not executing the right way with the technique. And so we're playing undisciplined football, and that's not good.
Could Jake play well enough to start next week, or will Keaton be back, or where are you on
that? Keaton's been playing banged up for a little bit now, and this the Texas game kind of put him in some danger, and just he couldn't really in competition between him and Jake. Jake was 100%, and he's healthy and good to go, and we save his redshirt year. You know what I mean? So. The competition will still happen. I think for Keaton, it's a day-to-day, week-to-week type of deal. So, but we'll play the best guy. And if someone's injured and they can play at a high level, then that's what we go with. If not, we'll play with the healthy guy that can go. And we have a number of players, and not just quarterback, but other positions that can contribute and help us win.
Do you feel like the passing game
impressed in the last couple of weeks when you were screwing up the film?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the sacks were, but we gave up 3 sacks, and it just seemed like Jake was probably running a little bit too much and couldn't settle his feet. And so maybe they got some hurries, and I think he took some shots, you know. So, yeah, I from not watching the film, I would say yeah, because when Jake has time, and I've said this before, when Keaton has time, we can usually make the right throws and go through our progression and our reads. And there's a couple times where I think Jake had to just tuck it and run, and that's not a good sign for us. So I know West Virginia is a really good team. I mean, I don't know why that team got picked last. They're a really good team. They have tons of talent, and Neil does a great job coaching them. That's the I thought this was a, other than the scoreboard and the game, this was a really cool experience to be here. I enjoyed being. I thought that it's a beautiful area, and just love being in the setting. I've always seen West Virginia and on TV and stuff like that, so it was nice to be here. And unfortunately, you know, hearing them sing that song, I guess they do it after wins, and so I guess I don't want to hear that anymore. But passionate fans, and I think that I like it being around those settings and being around areas that love their team, and I think they could be a real difference maker for their team at home if they just keep coming to the games. It was a really cool environment.
Colin, you talked about how disappointed you are with some of the missed assignments, poor technique, blocking. Do you feel like you have a good grasp on why that's happening this late in the year?
Yeah, and I think that that there's a number of reasons for that, and it all depends on who you're talking about and at which position. So all that has to be evaluated. It needs to be corrected, and that's what I got to do as a head coach. You know, find a way to get our guys to play at a higher level, and we've done it before. And so, and sometimes the competition, you just have to play the guys that can go. Right now, we have the availability to play everybody, and so we might have to go young in some spots, and we might have to keep competition. For me, the competition's open. You know, I owe it to the fans and to everybody else and to our team to play the best guys. And so it's going to be fun to see these guys compete and fight for playing time so that this doesn't show up again.
What can you hang your hat on with this team going down the stretch?
Well, they keep believing in each other. You know, it's just a matter of us putting it all together and creating momentum. The guys, this isn't going to fracture our team and the culture. The guys are together. They're unified. There's no pointing fingers. They know that we can play better, and so there's going to be a personal responsibility that everybody has to do. They have to do the 111th on the field. They're 120th on the team as a team member, you know, and that goes for coaches, staff, and players. We're all in this together as a program. So we've got to find ways to be more effective as a team and play better.
What was your line of thinking going forward on 4th and 2, near midfield on your first possession?
Yeah, I think we've always felt good about that, and for some reason we weren't able to convert, and that's, I think you have to give credit to them making the play, but I didn't, you know, after I rethink it, I think maybe we had if we're not having a lot of success on that, then maybe don't do it. But in hindsight, I mean, the regrets isn't something I'm going to live off of. I'm just going to try to be better and make the better decision next time.
And that's head coach Kalani Sitake. You could hear it in his voice. I mean, there's frustration there. I mean, I think Kalani kept it as professional as he can. It's interesting setup, too, because in the media room, it's me and 3 other media members locally. And then Tom Homo, Kalani's boss, is staring right at him.
Yeah.
Just staring at him. And I feel like that kind of sets up Kalani to where he's not giving maybe the answers he wants to say. I mean, ultimately, it's going to get to his boss anyway, but it's kind of a unique dynamic, I got to say, in that press conference with Tom the past few weeks in that press room.
Just next week, just have him standing right in front of him, staring him down. It gets more interesting every time. All right, we'll take another break here. We'll come back, discuss our Big 12 game of the week, and of course it was Bedlam for the last time, at least in the foreseeable future. We got to figure out how to get this game played more often, but how Oklahoma State has turned not just their season around, they turned Oklahoma's season around yesterday in the most recent and final meeting in the Bedlam series. We'll talk about that next right here. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. It is 102.7 FM KSL News Radio. This is 1st and 12.
Today's just the start of a Big 12 and Power 5 talk to come. Listen to JJ and Alex Monday on your drive home. Afternoons from 3 to 6 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back in to First and 12 here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Make sure to listen to JJ and Alex every single weekday on the KSL Sports app, KSL Sports Zone, and also get any sort of KSL Sports Zone shows on the KSL Sports app.
Yeah, we're
for Alex Keery.
We're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow, man. JJ
yes,
and I are be firing it up, man. I mean, look, here's the thing, too. I mean, sorry, BYU fans, but you're going to have this thing reflected up against the 55-3 win that Utah had yesterday. And that honestly makes days worse for BYU folks. Am I wrong, Mitch? I mean, that makes the days
worse
for BYU fans.
I feel like it doesn't make it as bad because BYU knows they're in the Big 12 now. I think when it was Independence versus Pac-12, yeah, it was pretty brutal. But I think now BYU feels a little bit more comfortable in their own skin, a little bit. But still, I think it's now that Utah's coming into the Big 12, though, maybe it does get amplified because there's this feeling of they're way ahead of where you are as a program right now, and they're going to be joining you next year, and you're going to be seeing them in the next 4 years.
Yeah, rough stuff. Hey, but guess what? Big 12 and our Big 12 game of the week was – Bedlam. How many years of this has been played? I know it's over 100. 100 and I guess it's been since 1913, 1912. How long has this game been played, Mitch? We know it's more than the 100th meeting, and it's going to be apparently one of the last. And, you know, it's going to be one of those situations where Oklahoma's like, you know, we're never going to play you guys again. And Oklahoma State's going, well, we wish we could, but you guys are acting like you're big time. And we've seen that happen with a lot of series. But, hey, look at Texas A&M and Texas. It came back around. So sometimes you can't cancel everything forever.
Yeah, this thing dates back to 1904. And, you know, Oklahoma's pretty much dominated the series 91-19-7 coming into Saturday. And Oklahoma State got win.
91-19?
Yes. Oklahoma State got win number 20 against the Sooners.
You know what? Congrats to the Sooners because, I mean, I had no idea it was that big of a disparity. I mean, that's crazy. You know what? It should go away. That's not even a rivalry there, Mitch. So well, yeah.
And I respect that Mike Gundy has basically said we will never schedule them as long as I'm here. And you know what? I admire that. I mean, he's saying if you want to leave this league, we're not going to spend our non-conference schedule on you because I think Oklahoma would be like, yeah, we'll do a 2-for-1 or, you know, we'll do something like that, kind of do the power trip thing on Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's not having that. So what a way for them to close out this Big 12 bedlam era with a win. And, you know, I think Oklahoma State, it's remarkable the turnaround. We talk about that every week. But I think what's been impressive about this group is just that they finally got stability at quarterback. Alan Bowman, former Michigan transfer. I don't know if he's stealing signs. I know, that's a terrible joke. I'm kidding. I know. It's just,
you know what?
Send me out. I'll see
you know
myself
what, though?
Out.
You know what, though? There's some point yesterday where I was going, hey, listen, I know how Michigan feels now. Like, maybe BYU should have gotten involved in something just to give yourself a little bit of an edge. It's like, I know, winning isn't it's not everything. It's not the only thing. But guess what? It does help. It helps soothe your little your neighborhood friends, all your fandom and everything. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. But, I mean, it was a crazy game. It was an awesome game.
But you think about Oklahoma State, great teams under Gundy. They always have star power at the skill positions, and they've got that with Ollie Gordon at running back, and then the receivers, Brendan Presley, who had 97 yards, Rashad Owens, 136. Where were these guys against USA in September? I don't know, but that was such a turning point for this team, and they have just been outstanding. I feel like this might be – there's a case that they're the best team in the league right now because of the resume that they have. I mean, they took down the Sooners, something that Texas couldn't do.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma State's playing great football right now. They're peaking at the right time. And what a huge win for them that they have the ultimate bragging rights for the foreseeable future. I mean, this is only going to be a game that's played again if it's a bowl game. That's what Mike Gundy said. So
I know.
Huge win for Oklahoma State to get it done. And for Oklahoma, I still think they're a really good football team, but I just think that, you know, some of the issues where when they need that critical defensive stop, they still just can't come through in the clutch. And, You know, Oklahoma State's a high-powered offense, and I'm curious to see where they climb in the college football playoff rankings. I think they go into that top 15 threshold after this win.
Yeah, I mean, 7-2 is where a lot of really good teams in the country are right now. You're starting to see some separation there. But if you would have told me, like, hey, they're going to rip off some of the best – I mean, we kind of half predicted it, too. We're like, Mike Gundy likes to get his guys going late in the season and kind of build up. And I don't know what team would want to take on Oklahoma State right now, including Texas, including – I mean, it's just – and think about how insane that game's going to be. BYU to go down to Stillwater. I mean, imagine how they played last night, and then their last game of the season is going down there to play Mike Gundy's team, who's going to be going, we have to win this game, and we got to impress to be a part of this, you know, maybe be part of a New Year's Six game, et cetera. So that's going to be a tough one. Think about how bad that Oklahoma State stretch sounds now for BYU fans. But, man, I'll tell you, it is fun. But I'm also a big believer, Mitch, in ESPN going – the bowl scheduling gods, you know, hitting it with the old their magic wand, and they go, you will play each other, like, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line, or even better, like maybe in 2 years, where they're suddenly both playing one another in I don't know what's even an SEC and Big 12 matchup that's like a decent one. Maybe a Sugar Bowl, get yourself like an Alamo Bowl matchup, something.
Texas Bowl.
Like, Give me the all military bowl. I don't care what it is. Throw down. Have a meet in Shreveport for all I care. Let's get them playing each other again. So there you go. The Bedlam series put to rest, as we made fun of so much at the beginning of the year. But it does sound. But it is weird now that it is over, right? Yeah. I mean, like, and I just imagine some old muckety muck, you know, guys who've been covering Oklahoma State forever with their reading glasses at the end of their nose and just crying themselves to sleep tonight on their pillow, probably in some bass themed man cave that they have down there in the South. But I don't know. No,
one thing we learned
here
too, Alex, is that we should never crown teams in October after the state fair with Texas and Oklahoma. It was like, is anyone in the league going to contend with these guys? And this league's pretty good. And that the season is never defined at the state fair in mid-October, and there's a lot of football still left to be played, and all the premature just, you know, anointing Texas and Oklahoma, yeah, this is still a good league, and they proved it once again with Oklahoma State getting that big win. We got to take a break, though. Where is Oklahoma State going to show up in our power rankings? We will reveal that next. It's our favorite segment on First and 12. The Big 12 power rankings get unveiled for a new week. A lot of shakeups, I'll tell you. It's going to be a lot of fun to roll this thing out. Mitch Harper, Alex Carey, here on KSL News Radio in the KSL Sports Zone, taking the break. Big 12 power rankings next here on First and 12.